All right. I had intentions to be in 1 John, but I'm not ready because the text is a hard one, and I'm not exactly sure I understand it yet. And so it is my practice to not preach if I am not able to be reasonably confident in my preaching. So you will, I trust, be gracious as up to this point, I've been praying, asking God, do I try it or not? And I'm not going to. So we're going to go in a different direction just tonight. And what I'm going to do is just, we're going to talk about something that is of a part of all of our lives, I trust. But it's going to be fun, literally, to look at what the Bible has to say and understand it a little bit better. And this is the subject of laughter. I shared a devotional on this on our missions trip with the missionaries and our group. And I don't exactly remember, well, I do know what prompted me. And that is that there were certain people in our mission, on our missions team, that just enjoyed laughter and laughed a lot and interacted a lot, so there was just this spirit of laughter flowing back and forth, and I was just watching this and watching how, even when we were working on the project, and how there would be just times of laughter, so I get curious. You know, I'm just this, you know, I'm just like you, and I get curious, and I just start thinking about, well, God, what is it about laughter? And you have to believe that laughter is something that God has given and designed. And I mean, He made us, right? And He made us, and here we are. We're people that at times there is laughter, and so that's the basis of this. And I I'd like to just share with you some of the things that I found, and I trust it will be encouraging and helpful. Some of the things you may find challenging. So first of all, I want you to think and consider where the first place you see laughter appearing in the Scriptures. And this is to my best recollection. I could be wrong, but anybody have an idea of where you first are seeing laughter? Yeah? Yes. Yes. So Genesis 17. So let's go there. Okay. So my question to the Lord and to His Word is, I want to learn about laughter. I want to learn about laughter. And if you want, you could look at this as a continuation of our Sunday school class, because this is just studying God's Word. I want to learn about laughter. And so, hey, what's the first place that you see laughter? And so we go into Genesis chapter 17. All right, so in verse 15 we read, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, verse 19, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. chapter 18, verse 9. And they said unto him, and this is, where is Sarah thy wife? So these are the visitors that have come to Abraham's tent. Where is Sarah your wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but you did laugh. Well, laughter. We enjoy laughter, and in fact, in my home, the children, they try to get me to laugh. They have this charge against me that I don't laugh enough, and that I do not laugh hard and full and heartily. And that could be true. I couldn't tend to be a very serious person. But we like laughter. But we think about laughter, and we first see it here in the scriptures, and we have to ask this question. This laughter is telling, isn't it? It is telling of a condition of their heart, of Abraham's heart and of Sarah's heart. It is an outward expression of this uneasiness in their soul with what they are being, with what they are being confronted. Abraham laughed. When did he laugh? He laughed at the idea of having a son in his old age. He laughed at that idea. Now, we could excuse it and say, well, of course, it is kind of laughable. I mean, here he is, 100 years old, and he's going to have a baby. But we take this in context, and the context is that Abraham is the father of God's people, and through him, all the world will be blessed. He's going to have seed, and with Sarah. And so there's this covenant, this promise that is laid upon him. And so within the context, the laughter is really revealing, isn't it? God, come on. Really? Don't you hear how ridiculous this sounds? And of course, this is mirrored with Sarah. Different scene. They're visited by these three people appear in all accounts to be from heaven, angelic beings, and they give this message, and Sarah hears this message, and she laughs. And what this passage reveals to us about this laughter is that when she was confronted, she denied it. Well, why would she deny it? Because she knew that the laughter revealed her heart. It revealed a doubt. It revealed an unbelief in what God was saying to her and to Abraham. This was something that they could not believe. This is a profound lesson, and I know that it impacted you when we read it, when we read chapter 18 and verse 14, this phrase, is anything too hard for the Lord? And so we think about what God has said. And sometimes when God directs us, we want to laugh because it is ridiculous sounding, or it might just seem like it's an impossibility, or it does not make human logical sense. in our minds. And in our spirits, we want to laugh. Because we're picturing ourselves in this situation and just left hanging. Because surely God can't do that. Well, is anything too hard for the Lord? So I laugh because I don't know what you're really thinking. All right, so as we build this case and we want to understand laughter, we see that Abraham and Sarah didn't really truly understand, and I'm going to call this with all reverence, the God factor in their lives. They have an almighty God who is involved in their life, and this laughter just reveals they just don't fully understand that. You see, God is building mankind's understanding of himself, and he's building that through all of these different events and accounts that's recorded for us throughout history. All right, so let's go to Genesis chapter 21. This is a fun study, isn't it? I mean, you ever thought about laughter? Been curious about it? Have you ever been one to laugh, knowing in your spirit you have a lot of doubt? You aren't sure. And so the response that comes out is, I'm laughing because I don't know what else to say or to do. It's nervous laughter, we would often describe it, right? Because, man, this is a tough place to be in, to see myself. All right, so Genesis chapter 21 and verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Remember? Verse 3, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, called him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Verse 6, and Sarah said, now listen to this, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham. He was mocking. Now this passage does us a great service in that it helps us understand a little basis of the root word for laughter. We see laughter, but we also see it in two forms that you might not readily see in the English. And first of all, Isaac. That name means laughter. Okay, so this is an interesting passage as you look at this and you think about it, because the name that was given to their son, the promised one, is really laughter. Now, this same word, as we think about to laugh, this verb, in two different, you can use it in two different forms, and I'm not going to get deep into all the linguistic parts, but you'll have the same Hebrew word, but there are different forms of it, and the different forms of it can vary the meaning. And one form is to laugh, and that is a positive laughter, a good laughter. But then there's another form, and that is a mocking laughter. And so we see that in this passage with Ishmael. Same word. Same word. So why is this important? Well, if you're a Hebrew and you're reading through the Hebrew scriptures and you're coming down through this, you're seeing the similar wording, and you're seeing all this. We don't see it in the English, but you would see it in the Hebrew. And that plays in the meaning, and that helps us understand the passage even more and breathes more life into it. When you see the contrasts of the promised one whose name is laughter, and Sarah just proclaiming, God hath made me to laugh. So that all that hear will laugh with me. But then there's Ishmael. And he's mocking. Now you see there that already you see this. What's the word? This battle that is stewing or beginning between these two sons. And this is really the beginning of the struggle that we're even seeing today. The Jewish people at the brunt end of so many people groups in the world are being mocked and being persecuted. And the Ishmaelites, commonly believed to be the people group from which the Muslims come from. All right, so this picture of laughter, this passage brings out this positive aspect of God has made me to laugh. And what this does is it gives us the opposite, the flip side of, I have this doubt and I'm going to laugh because I just can't see how God could do this. And then God does do it and he gives this woman a child. She has been barren for 90 years. And listen, women, to have a child meant everything for a woman. So to be barren in this culture was looked at as almost like a curse. And so here she has been given a child, and so her life, her world is turned right side up in her mind, and she is full of great joy and has much reason to laugh. You see this in the New Testament with Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. A similar type happening in Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth, a woman who was barren. She was past her childbearing years, and so pretty much she had given up hope of ever having a child. And then, of course, the angel appears to her husband in the temple. He doubts. He is struck and he's stricken with muteness. He cannot talk. And so she conceives, and she brings forth the child, John, who becomes John the Baptist. But look at Luke chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 25. Let's start with verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And you can see this joy that is within her. And then go to verse 57 of the same chapter. And it says, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And so there is just this great joy. Don't miss that we see laughter in the Bible, and its first appearance has to do with children. One minor application, could it be that one of the many reasons that God grants us children is that we might experience joy and laughter? Oh, I know there's sorrows, and I know there's hardships. But if you've been a parent, I'm sure you're thinking of a time when you've just had to laugh. So laughter, it can reveal a doubt, but it also is an emotion that God has given as a display of great joy. I can see that there is not enough time for all that the Bible would say about this subject, but I believe it is fitting to close with. Let me find my. This is from my journal. So I was journaling this on our missions trip, and sometimes my journal is quite disorganized. As it is, I can't find. Oh, there it is. Proverbs 17. Proverbs chapter 17. It is times like this that I am glad that I keep a journal. Because when you come to preach and the message doesn't come together, man, the journal can come in real handy. Because it's chronicles my time with God throughout the week. And so it is an opportunity to kind of flesh out a little bit of what I've been learning personally. So Proverbs chapter 17, this is a verse we've heard often, but it goes like this, verse 22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." You know, as we think about this subject of laughter, and certainly we only looked at a small portion in what we found in Genesis and the first appearances of this, but we see both aspects, the positive and the negative, the doubt, but the joy, the mocking even, we saw. But as we walk away tonight from our time in studying the Word of God, I believe it is important for us to walk away with this view that a merry heart, a heart that is joyful, a heart that is able to have an expression of laughter about life that is true and real, it does good like a medicine. Now, this idea of medicine for these people, it would have been a very positive thing. Something that would have medicinal qualities was looked at as something that would be healing, something that would be a balm, something that would be refreshing. And so is your merry heart. We've all been around people who have had a less than merry heart. And it's those kinds of people that have this broken spirit that when you walk away, you're exhausted and your spirit is dried up. It's as if you are so thirsty, you're just longing to get to the fountain. Because they have sapped you dry. May you and I be people that when we are in the company of others, our spirit is a balm. Our spirit is calming and refreshing and healing. I love how God has made us. And He has made us emotional creatures. Some more emotional than others, but all of us emotional creatures. And we manifest the various emotions throughout the day, throughout the week. But as we think about this emotion of laughter, may God use this small little study to cause us to think, well, why am I laughing? What is this revealing about my heart? Is my spirit truly merry, joyful? Or am I struggling with doubt? Am I struggling with fear? Am I trying to hide something that truly needs to be dealt with between me and God. This is true even in relationships. My wife knows my nervous laugh, and she knows that there's something deeper that's going on inside. Well, my family also knows that when Daddy really laughs, it's really something. It's something special. So I trust this is just a small encouragement. It's kind of light, I guess, but nevertheless, the Bible talks about it. And it's worth looking into, and maybe it's piqued your curiosity to dive deeper into this whole subject matter of laughter. Lord, thank you for laughter, and I thank you for the joy that can be ours in our hearts. And truly, Lord, your desire is that we have a fullness of joy. And I believe, God, that will be expressed in at least one form of laughter. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be a people that are refreshing and a people that, Lord, have a sincerity of spirit. That we are a refreshing one to be around. Oh, God, I pray that you would equip your people for the week ahead. You know what we will face. And God, you know the challenges and you know the opportunities. And so, Lord, I pray that you would equip us, prepare us. And Lord, we look forward to gathering together again soon. In Jesus' name, amen.